نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد, today إن شاء الله تعالى we will attempt to بإذن الله conclude or complete the tafsir or explanation of Surah Al-Mulk, and we have arrived at ayah number 22. There's maybe 8 or 9 more verses yet left of it. And the ayah that I stopped at last week is probably the central verse within the surah, and it explains what the purpose of knowledge actually is. Surah Al-Mulk is offering us or explaining to us what we need to know as Muslims, what it is that we need to know, the requirement of information, of knowledge that we have to have and carry with us if we're going to be able to practice Islam appropriately and also spread it appropriately. And of course, Surah Al-Mulk does not talk about fiqh and issues of jurisprudence, because these are topics or issues that come in secondarily. They're secondary issues in the deen. Primarily, it's the theology. It's understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing your purpose and why you're here and what is it that you're here to do and how life will be conducted and what will it look like after death and what accountability is going to be based on. These are the pieces of information that unite us as an ummah, by the way. We're united as Muslims through these pieces of information, through these comprehensions, understandings of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We may differ on aspects of jurisprudence, of fiqh, practices, you know, variations of how we perform acts of worship, and that's fine. It's never been a problem. Islam has always been wide enough and open enough and large enough and comprehensive enough to carry these different ways of doing things. But what unites us unequivocally is understanding our basic theology, which is what Surah Al-Mulk talks about. Surah Al-Mulk does not go into any details. It doesn't go into secondary aspects of aqidah or tertiary aspects of aqidah. It sticks with the basics. These basics, if they were properly understood by us, if we understood them well and we reflected upon them well, and we also accepted and reflected upon that which they lead to with certainty. So any piece of information, you have to understand it and accept it, but also if it concludes something unequivocally in logic, when a certain statement leads beyond a shadow of a doubt to another statement, then the belief in that first statement means belief in that statement and the one that comes after it. So when you accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, then that leads undisputedly to the statement that He does not have partners and there is no one that is similar to Him or equal to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is concluded with certainty. There's not, sometimes there'll be a statement, you can conclude two things from it. You can understand it in two different ways. There are two conclusions. Whenever a statement offers that the option of more than one conclusion, then there's sa'ah in the deen. There's always some openness. And you need a piece of evidence to state one of them over the other. For one of them to be correct and the other one to be incorrect, you need another piece of evidence to conclude that. But in language and in logic, many times, a statement will lead immediately and undeniably to another statement. And the example that I gave you, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He is al-wahid al-ahad, He is the one and the only, that means that He has no partners. That also will lead to the fact that there is no one similar to Him. So you conclude that without requiring more pieces of evidence. Now the Quran offers other pieces of evidence, but you don't need them. You don't actually, because this is understood and concluded linguistically. But the Quran does that to emphasize and reinforce certain understanding and certain comprehensions. Surah Al-Mulk offers us these basic pieces of information about this journey, about creation, about existence. He told us about Himself that He is Tabarak, that He is the one who continuously sends us blessings in a way that on an ongoing fashion is increasing, despite the fact that we do not acknowledge the weight of these bounties, or barakah means, meaning they're heavier than we can even imagine. We can't even fully appreciate how heavy and how impactful they are. That's the first piece of information. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ He is the king, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sovereignty is in his hands. عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ He is the omnipotent. The creator of death. The creator of life. The fact that he لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that our existence is merely an opportunity for us to be able to prove ourselves, to prove, to show what we can do. It's an opportunity of existence so that you are offered the potential to do something good with it, so that you can try your best with what you've got. He is the unfathomable. He is the most forgiving. The one who created the cosmos and the earth. I'm just reciting for you the verses that we went through. الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبَعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. They are identical. And then he asks you to reflect upon those cosmos. And he tells you to look at them infinitely. ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبِ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. The more you look, the more you will come to the conclusion that there are no breaks and there are no discrepancies. And you will be in a state of frustration and in a state of awe and admiration of that which was created. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. And he states, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything that he created has a dual role. A role in alam al-shahada, something that you see. The stars are bright lanterns in the sky that beautify it in your surrounding. And they are also رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. They also exist in alam al-ghaib, in a fashion that you don't fully understand. He will give you the pieces of information that you need to know, but you won't know everything about that. And then he talked about al-akhirah. He talked about the day of judgment. He talked about punishment, and he talked about reward. Those were the pieces of information in the first page. He continues, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the second page to challenge you and to tell you, what is it that you're not certain about? You think that the one who created does not know his own creation. Yeah. You think that he is not al-latif and not al-khabir. He is not the one who knows the subtleties and knows that which is hidden in your chest. Are you in a delusional state of safety and security for you to walk around acting like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not punished the people before, that he is not capable of sending the sky down on you or having the earth open from under you? Learn from that which happened before. Walk this earth. Eat from its provision. Walk the earth. He made it for you. Dhalul. He made it easy for you to walk it and eat from his provision. Enjoy what he made for you subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then look at you. Look at the animals. Look at the birds above you. طَحْفَاتٍ وَيَقْبِضٍ. Watch them as they fly. Who gave them the ability to do this aside from Ar-Rahman? The one who sees all. Basir, Latif, Khabir, Alim. All of these adjectives, all of these descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come together in Surah Al-Mulk. You don't find it that way. These subtleties, not everyone notices them. I'm trying to bring them to your attention because it's what makes surahs click. It's what makes surahs unique. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about himself in other surahs, we don't find a pattern, this pattern. We find other patterns, not this one. This pattern in Surah Al-Mulk, where he talks about his omniscience, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he uses all of the descriptions that are going to talk about his ilm, we find them in Surah Al-Mulk. One after the other, he points them out to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يعلم من خلق, اللطيف, الخبير, البصير. He's using these descriptions so that you understand who he is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand the fact that you are taking these pieces of information from the source of knowledge himself. He challenges us again. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ. Who is it that's going to protect you? What soldiers do you have that will protect you aside from Ar-Rahman? مَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ. Who is going to grant you provision if he holds back provision? If the sky stops raining and the earth stops giving food and animals stop reproducing, how are you going to eat? Where are you going to get rizq from? The Qur'an argues these points, by the way. And I've repeated this a number of times because I need you when you read the Quran to understand what points the Quran is arguing, or else you will be misled or you find it. Because you could say to yourself, well, we can get provision from anywhere. Fulan will give me money. I'll steal it from that place. He's not talking about that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not talking about that you can go and get grain from us. No, he's saying provision itself as a concept. Who put it there? If he holds it back, where are you going to get it from? If water stops quenching your thirst, if water stops doing that, if you start drinking water and your kidneys just throw it out and doesn't quench your thirst anymore, how are you going to fix that? If a seed is put in the ground and then sun and water don't allow, it doesn't grow, what are you going to do? If you put together chickens and a rooster and they don't make eggs and they don't reproduce, what are you going to do? Within 3 years, every living thing will be dead if he holds back his provision, subhanahu wa ta'ala. These laws are his laws. The laws of the universe are owned by God. He coined them. He made them. Gravity and electromagnetic fields and just the basic laws of existence. He made them. It wasn't Newton who made these laws, nor Einstein, nor any of the scientists. They just They just figured out how they functioned. They just figured out that they were there, that they existed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them there. So when He challenges you, He's challenging you saying, you see these laws, what if these laws stopped happening? What if they stopped? What if gravity stopped existing? Then what are you going to do then? Huh? Go ahead, what are you going to do? Do you think that we understand how it works today? Do you think we do? Do you think that human beings understand that how it works? No, they don't. We don't. We just know it's there. We just know that gravity is there. We have no idea how it works. We don't understand why it works that way. We don't. We just know that anything that is positively charged and anything that is negatively charged will attract each other. Why? We have no idea. We have no. Why do they repel each other at the same charge? We don't know. We just know that that is a maxim of the universe. And because we understand that maxim, we can study its effects and we can learn things. The Quran is asking you about those maxims. If they stop functioning, what are you going to do? Who is it? This is what the Quran is saying. So when you listen to these verses, make sure you understand what the Quran is challenging. The Quran is challenging the maxims, the axiomatic matters that we take for granted that are self-evident to us, that we stop thinking about. We stop thinking about because it just happens. It just happens. This is how the earth, this is the axis of the earth, and this is how it rotates around the sun. This is its speed, this is its space, the distance, sorry. But without these basics, we wouldn't be here. So he challenges those things. أَوَلَمْ يَرُوا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ Who made that law? Who made the laws of aerodynamics? That a bird can... Just because you understand it now doesn't mean that this verse is not relevant. This verse is not saying, now you understand how the physics go. So if you have a body that is filled with air, it's lighter than air, and you put enough speed, then you basically can lift off. We just figured out how it works. But he's saying, why does that happen? Why is it that who put that law there? And if he takes away that law doesn't function anymore. The fact that you put a boat in the sea and it floats even though it's heavier than water itself. Right? We understand the law of how it works. It's the full space of the ship that you're going to use the calculations for, and that's why it floats. But what if that law stopped functioning? We don't control these things. We just came to the world, and that's what the world was working. That's how it works. That's what the Quran says. ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت. Look at the creation of the Rahman. Look time and time again. You see breaks. You see discrepancies. Are there not all the same laws that govern everything and govern you and govern the world around you? Who put those laws there? Who put those laws? You go study a course of physics, they give you law number 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. You go, but who put them there? Where did they come from? We're just describing laws that govern things, but where did those laws come from? That's what the ayah is saying. This is what the Quran is talking about whenever it challenges you to look at something and reflect upon something. And that's what it's saying. Go back to these laws that you didn't put there, that you can't change, that without them you would not survive. And remind yourselves, who put them there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the leading up to this ayah. أَفَمَن يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى Who is it? Who is more guided? The one who walks with their face down to the ground. They don't see ahead of them. They don't know which direction they're walking. They have no destination because they don't see in front. They're looking down. أَمَّن يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا Or the one who's walking with their head held high and they see ahead of them. Walking straight on a straight path with equilibrium, sawiyan, they're balanced, they see the straight path. Are they the same? Someone walking aimlessly, no direction, no destination, their face is down to the ground, or someone who's walking with their head up, they can see and they're not the same. This person will reach somewhere. This person has a destination, they'll reach it, this person will never reach it. And ilm, that's what ilm is for. Ilm is to allow you to raise your head so you can see. And the point of that is so that you can find guidance, so that you're more guided. Ilm has to lead to guidance. If ilm does not lead to guidance, then it was a waste of time. If you increase in your knowledge, and your knowledge does not take you to a state where you are more guided, meaning the tariq, the sabil for you, huh? The sirat is not more clear. If it's not clearer because of your knowledge, then the knowledge you took was not helpful. Knowledge has to clarify the sirat so you can walk with more equilibrium. With more clarity, you know exactly where you're putting your foot. You see the end of it. You know exactly where you're going. No matter how violent the waves of life are, no matter how far they throw you, You can always stand up and get your head up there again to see where the destination is, and then walk again, because you know where you're going. But someone who's their focus, and there's symbolism in this ayah that goes beyond even what I'm trying to explain to you here. And this concept of being focused on small details that are inferior to your own existence, details that don't matter. You're being preoccupied, having this tunneled vision of preoccupation with little details of life, of things that don't matter at all, that are dunya, that are low. You're just looking down. How are you going to get anywhere? Don't you understand that there's more to you than this? Get your head up. Lift your head. Why are you looking down? Why are you focused on this, on hayat al-dunya and these details and these that don't mean anything, that have no weight or value at all? Lift your head. Look, take a better view of what you're doing. See where you're going. Understand what you're here and what you're here to do. And live for that, so that your life has more meaning to it, it's more fulfilled. And then walk with clarity, walk with equilibrium, with balance. SubhanAllah. This is what this ayah is telling us. It's enough time wasted on nitty-gritty details that don't mean anything. Fighting over small aspects of dunya, focus, having no idea, having no understanding of the bigger picture, focused on just my little small aspects of comfort and what I want. Ya akhi irfa ra'sak. Raise your head. Look, what are you doing? Look at the end. See your sirat. Do you know where you're walking? Do you have any idea where you're going? Where are you? From where you should be? What's wrong with you? Afayman yamshi mukibban ala wajhihi ahda. Is this person more guided? أَمَّا يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. What takes you there? Ilm takes you there. Knowledge takes you there. It's knowledge that took the Sahaba there. The Prophet ﷺ transformed a nation of illiterates to a nation that brought ilm, knowledge, science, and religion together for the first time in history. Historically, no church historically has been able to do that. Every single church, I'm not talking about the Christian church, any church, any form of religiosity, historically, has always been at odds with the scientific minds. And then for a millennium, for a solid thousand years, religion is what encouraged scientific thought, critical thinking, objectivity, rationale, logic, discovery and exploration. And the scholars of religion were the scholars of botany and geology and biology and medicine and astronomy and every other discipline of science that was known to man at the time. For a solid thousand years, across three continents, that was the case. Because this is what the Quran taught them. I just want us to go back and learn what the Quran taught the earlier generation. That's all. Just go back and learn what they took from it, how they understood this, so that we can take it and practice it that way. So it can do something, do for us what it did for them. And the answer here is no, Ya Rabbi. Because it's a question, Afamen. There's a lot of questions here. Amintum? No, we didn't, Ya Rabbi. Amintum man fis sama? No, we didn't. Amman hadha alladhi huwa judul lakum? Who is it that? No one, Ya Rabbi. Amman hadha alladhi yarzuqukum? Who is going to provide for you? No one, Ya Rabbi. Afamen yamshi mukibban? Tell me, who is better? Ya Rabbi, man yamshi sawiyan ala siratim mustaqim. The one who walks That one, that's the one who's more guided, Ya Rabbi. It's obvious. But follow, learn. When you learn these concepts, when you allow these pieces of information to mean something to you, when you allow them to, when you embrace them and you absorb them and they become a part of your subconsciousness, and this is how you live your life, knowing these facts about God, about the universe, about creation, about life itself, about your experience here, then you live differently. Surat al-Mulk gives you, Surat al-Mulk, not just in a mythological way, will protect you in your qabr. Surat al-Mulk in a practical way will protect you in your qabr. Because if you understand this, then you will live a life that will make sure your qabr is a good experience. If you understand this stuff, you can't live a life that you won't. If this is clear to you, if what Surat al-Mulk is explaining is clear to you, then you will absolutely live a life. You will for sure live a life that will be protected in the grave after you leave. For sure. The Prophet ﷺ, when he said these things, he wasn't saying these things in a way that to turn off your brain. Oh, read Surat al-Mulk and then you'll be protected. How are you going to read Surat al-Mulk? As in, sleep? Or read and and think and learn what these words have meanings. It's a language. It's not gibberish. This is very profound. Every verse is trying to teach something. Read it every night so that you're protected. How are you going to read it every night? Read it and turn off the upper deck and just, that's how you're going to read it. Do we seriously think that's what he was saying, alayhi salatu wasalam? That's very, very depressing to me. It's depressing to me if he teaches us these things, and he tells us, say this and say that and read this and read that, and we turn, every time we do it, we just turn off the upper. And just, why? He might as well have told us to say things that have no meaning at all. Right? Might as well have told us to say things that have no meaning at all. If you think about it, there are verses in the Quran that are like that. Hamim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf. No meaning. For us at least, no meaning. We don't understand what they mean. I can give you some hypotheses, but I don't know exactly what they mean. Why? It's challenging you. Here, you see those words, those letters? These are the letters that build the content of this book. Now read the book, understand it. Or else you could have made the whole book just sit down, read, understand nothing. Yeah. You have to comprehend. We'll start with ayah number 23, the finale of, or the conclusion of Surah Al-Mulk, that is a lot of commands. We will find six times in a row in these verses, he will say to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, قُلْ, say the following, say the following, answer with the following, respond with the following. These verses, you find these cluster of verses in the Quran in multiple places. I talk about them every once in a while, because we'll recite like a surah, and there'll be a bunch of them. You find them in Surah Al-An'am, you find them in Surah Al-Saba. You'll find them a couple of places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes over like a dhamr, قُلْ, 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 say this, say this, say this. Here's some responses. Here are things for you to say, not just to other, but to yourself, and to understand as a conclusion of this surah. And they're very beautiful, so we'll start, inshallah, reciting with ayah number 23. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون. The first two verses that tell him something to say, alayhi salam. قل, say the following. هو الذي أنشأكم. He is the one who created you and brought you up. And insha is to make something, but also grow it. That's why when we talk about someone who's growing up, we say him nashia. I mean, people who are on their way to get older. So أنشأكم means that he created you, but there was some degree of graduality to it. I mean, you came with time. You didn't come all at once. You came with time. You had to learn on your way there. You had to grow and you had to mature. Ansha'akum. He brought you up slowly. He brought you up. Ansha'akum. He brought you up slowly from nothing to something. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ. And on that, and during that process, جَعَلَ لَكُمْ. He made for you. He installed for you, within you, السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ. He gave you the ability to hear and the ability to see, and he gave you consciousness. That's what الفؤاد is your consciousness. Or your intellect, if you want to use that word to describe it, it would be also reasonable. He gave you the ability to hear and to see, and he gave you that basic consciousness and intellect. So you do what with it? What are you going to do with it? You're capable of hearing and listening. You're capable of seeing. You can process information coming from the exterior, from the outside, from externally to you, and then you have a consciousness that can take all that information and process it. And come to and draw conclusions. And what are you going to do with that? قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. How little it is that you are thankful for that and you're grateful. How do you show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that? By just saying Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah at all times. You say Alhamdulillah whether you have something you can think about that's good in your life, or you have nothing to say to think about. If you have nothing that you can think about that's good in your life, you still say Alhamdulillah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of praise, whether you can think of something to praise Him for or you can't. Makes no difference. He is not worthy of praise because you could think of something that he's worthy, that you want to praise him for. He is worthy of praise even if you cannot come up with anything, because he's al-Hamid. He is worthy of praise at all times. So alhamdulillah should roll off your tongue normally. But when he talks about shukr, that it's few of you, qaleela, very few times, a few instances of people actually show shukr to this, to the fact that he ansha'akum, and he granted you the ability to hear and to see, and he granted you intellect and consciousness. How do you show shukr for something like this? You use them appropriately. How do you show shukr for the wealth that he gave you? You give others. You make sure that this is, that's how it's simple. Like the laws, there's nothing complicated here. He gives you something, he grants you a bounty, you show shukr by using it well. By using it, by making sure that you use it the way it was intended to be used, whether it's your wealth, whether it's your time, whether it's your health. Like when he gave you intellect and the ability to hear and the ability to see and the ability that to process and to think, that consciousness, al-af'ida. The word fu'ad is not very common in the Quran. Maybe 6-7 times tops. Yeah, within the 30 juz'a. It's not... Fu'ad is, whenever it's used, inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada, kullu ula'ika kana anhu mas'ula. Indeed, the ability, your ability to hear and to see, and the fu'ad, meaning your intellect and consciousness, and the consciousness that you have, indeed, all of that you're going to be asked about yawm al-qiyamah. You're going to be, kullu dhalik, all of it, kullu ula'ika kana anhu mas'ula. The human being was responsible for using them appropriately, responsible for what he was going to do with them. Hey, you know. قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ سبحان الله. كان سيدنا عمر سيدنا رضي الله عنه used to make this دعاء. اللهم اجعلني من القليل. Used to make that دعاء. Or make me from the few. And of course, يعني, one of the تابعين asked him, what do you mean? فقال قوله وقليل من عبادي الشكور. Right? In Surah 7. And few of my servants are those who are grateful, who show gratitude for what I give them. And he repeats this in the Quran a lot, that it's not, most people take what they have for granted. They take it, they feel that they deserved it somehow, that they are entitled to it, and they run with it expecting more of it. If it gets less, then they're like, what? Why is it less than I... Why is it less? How? Who dares take it? What do you mean? Did you earn this? Did you pay for it? What did you do to deserve this? Nothing. This was a gift, here. Just like he gave it, he can take it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى. Those who turned away from Allah's reminders, يوم القيامة they come, they're blind, they can't see. يصلي قال ربي لما حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا. Why am I blind? I could see before. قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. Just like we sent you all these reminders and you decided to neglect them and forget them, you're being neglected today. Yeah, the malak forgot to give you your eyesight. Just like you forgot, just like you didn't care. You didn't care about what we were talking to you about, so we didn't care enough to make sure that you had all of your senses restored the way they were. Sallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala salama. قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ. That's the first one. This is what he has to say. He's saying this, alayhi salatu wasalam, not to the mushrikeen specifically. Right? Most of the... When you find these verses in the Qur'an that have five or six قُلْ 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 in a row, you have to identify what the context of the verses are. Sometimes those verses will be in the context of an argument or a debate. Right? You'll find that in Ali Imran and you'll find that in Saba. You'll find where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, say this as response. Say this as response. Right? This is how you're going to respond to them. And then you find other verses that are like this, where it's not a debate, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam what statements to make to himself and to the believers. Here's what you need to learn. Here's what you have to think about. This is what you... Number one, you say this. It's Allah who created me from nothing and brought me up and granted me all of my intellectual faculties. He granted me my ability to listen and to hear and to think and to see. And he granted me my consciousness. And very few people are grateful for that, so I need to change that. That's the first one. Second one. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He is the one who dispersed you amongst the earth. You're all over the earth. You weren't living in one small spot. He spread you. Dhar is to take something and spread. The farmer, يذر الحب. He'll take seed and he'll throw and he'll disperse the seed all across the field, right? So, ذرأكم في الأرض, he dispersed you all across the earth. ذرأكم في الأرض. وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ And you will all be gathered back to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say that, this is what you say, هُوَ الَّذِي It's Allah who spread you the way you are across the earth with your different races and cultures and tongues and habits and traditions and whatever you have. This is what Allah, He put you like that. So that you may learn, so that you may grow, so that you may take the best of it and practice and leave the worst of it and remove it, because you're all going to be brought back to Him and gathered back to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He granted you the intellectual faculty, so use them use them well, use them for khayr, use them so that you can gain knowledge and you can gain guidance. Yeah? Use them the way they're supposed to, use them in a way that you can say, I was grateful. I could hear and think and listen and see, I'm going to use them well. Use those gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that Yawm al-Qiyamah I can say I was grateful for them, so I used them well. Say that هُوَ الَّذِي دَرَأَكُمْ Say He is the one who spread you amongst the earth the way you are. Because these are existential questions, by the way, these verses. You know, the question of why it is that I have metacognition? Why can I think this way? Why does every other creature just exist happily, quietly? Why? If you left orangutans for 1,000 years with all the tools in the world, they will poop on all of them and they'll continue just to eat bananas and they don't care. They're not going to build an empire. They don't have metacognition. They don't care. They're not depressed. The only time they're depressed is if you put them in captivity. If you take away their freedom. Aside from that, they're fine. We made animals depressed, by the way. We gave them depression by putting them in small tanks and taking them away out of their, and ruining their habitats for them. But put them in their habitat. They're fine. They don't mind, they're happy, they don't need psychiatrists and they don't need... Do you understand that the stocks for antidepressants in the 90s went up by 400%? By 400%! People who invested this early on became multi-millionaires, billionaires, because of the human experience. Because we don't know what we're here to do. And just existing is not enough for most human beings. Even those who don't have faith, some aspect of them is unfulfilled. And it's very difficult. When you sit alone with your thoughts, something is nagging at you. If you don't know, if you're yamshi mukibban ala wajhi, if you're walking in life and you're focused only on the small pleasures and leisures of life, then there's a part of you that is unfulfilled and unhappy. When you're left alone with it, it screams at you and it scares you and it makes you feel worthless and it makes you feel very anxious and tired and upset and fatigued. These questions were what the human beings have been asking forever. Why is it that I feel like you think and you understand because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to. You have this intellectual faculty. You're able to think and to reflect and to hear and to see and to process all of this because Allah wanted you to. That's what He wanted, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He decreed that. No one else did. Subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that you were going to have this gift. So be grateful. And then He decided that you're going to live all across the earth and you'll look different and you'll sound different and you'll have different races and cultures and habits and traditions, and that's what He decided. So use that well. Because you will all be gathered back to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the basics of our existence. And the Qur'an is just stating them. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice. He chose. He chose for me to look different than you, and you to look different than him, and her to look different. He chose that. He chose for us to come from different backgrounds and have different experiences, so we can learn from one another. So that we can grow from one another. So that we can appreciate that which brings us together, not that which divides us. That's His choice, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وإنما أنا نذير مبين فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون And they will say, متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين? When is this promise of yours? If you are truthful, tell us, when is this promise going to happen? This promise of resurrection, of Armageddon occurring, and of a day where everyone will be tuhsharuna ila Allah, where you are gathered and you are shepherded back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When is, if you're truthful, when is this going to happen? So they asked about when. When is not the right question. When is the wrong question? Surah Al-Mulk is, again, as I pointed out a number of times now, is talking about what we need to know. But it's also telling us what we don't need to know. There are things that you absolutely need to know, and there are a bunch of things that you don't really need to know. They don't matter. They're not crucial. And intricate to your story. Whether you know them or not doesn't make a difference. The Quran does this all the time, by the way. The Quran points this out all the time of things that you're asking for that doesn't matter whether you know them or not. They didn't make a difference. سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةُ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ Who cares? There are three of them, or five of them, or seven of them. What does that matter? Who cares what type of dog it was? Google it. See the number of forums that are open online for people asking what type of dog the people of Ahl Kahf had. Wallah, take a look. You'll be hundreds and hundreds of hours have been spent talking whether it's a Great Dane or a Shepherd or whatever. Who cares? Who cares what type of dog it is? How does that change anything? But what impact does that have on you? What if it's a husky, you're going to go buy one and you're going to... What is that going to do for you? عليها تسعة عشر 19 of the Malaika. And then they spent time talking, oh, 19, why 19? Why not? How does that change anything? Whether it's 19 Malak on gatekeeping Jahannam, or whether it's 19,000, or whether it's one, or whether it's none, how does that affect you? It's when you focus on هناك علم موجود هناك علم مفقود. If you study Tahawiyyah with me in Aqeedah course every year, we do an Aqeedah course, and I'm mandating this now for everyone who's attending this masjid. You have to attend this course. If you have not, then once we run it again in May, you have to attend it. And after a couple of years of doing this, that'll be your entrance to the masjid card. You attended the Aqeedah course, Ahlul Salah, no, Allah Akbar, go pray in some other masjid. You have to attend, you have to learn, you have to understand what your theology is. We have to agree who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and how we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what reverence, and what degree of exaltation we all carry in our hearts for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we claim for Him, what we don't claim for Him. In the end of this text, the Imam al-Tahawi will say, هناك علماني, علم موجود وعلم مفقود. There is no knowledge, types of knowledge, knowledge that is available, knowledge that you are obligated to learn, knowledge you are obligated to practice and to teach others, وعلم مفقود. And there is knowledge that is not accessible. There are things that you will never know. There are things that if you pursue them, they will only make you get more lost. If you ask about them, you will only get more confused because they're not accessible to you. Yani, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exist the way He exists? Yani, how is it that He doesn't have a beginning? هذا علم مفقود. The essence of God is not understandable. You'll never understand the essence of God. If you did, He wouldn't be God anymore. If you were able to break down His essence, He wouldn't be God. He would be some great creation, but He's not God. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say, this is Allah, but I also want to understand His essence. No, either He is Allah, or you understand something's essence. Both of them together, ya akhi, they don't work. There's no logic in that. So if you spend time trying to understand the essence of something that you are, by design, not capable of understanding, then you're wasting your time. If you start asking questions about, when is Yawm al-Qiyamah? When? I'm going to use this hadith and try to figure it out. And then someone sits online and says, it's going to be 2000 and something. Iskut, ya akhi. Ya akhi, iskut. What are you doing? If the Prophet ﷺ was asked by Jibreel, what is, do we have a more authentic hadith than hadith Jibreel? Like, do we have a hadith that is celebrated amongst the ummah more than hadith Jibreel, where the Prophet was asked by Jibreel, يعني متى الساعة فقال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل? The one that's being asked is not more knowledgeable about this than the one who's asking, because I don't know. Do we need the Quran? قل يا لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا ولو كنت أعلم الغيب لاستكثر يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مساها فيما أنت من ذكراها إلى ربك منتهاها. No, we're going to sit down and we're going to spend time and talking about the signs, and we're coming close to the end of time and we have to... لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. I don't know what to... why are you wasting time trying to study something that you don't have the tools to detect anything? You can't deduct anything from it. You can't deduct any knowledge from this. But you think that there's a formula in these narrations that will tell you when your sa'ah is. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't know. And the Sahaba didn't understand it either. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say exclusively the knowledge of the hour was with Allah. That's what you say, because that's not a piece of, that doesn't matter to you. People say, well, it'd be nicer to know what would happen. Yeah, it would be. Would be, wouldn't it? Yeah, for someone who doesn't want to do anything productive, it would be great to know. It would be nice to know when you die too, wouldn't it? That way you can just plan things out. I have 15 more years, excellent. Next 10 years, I know what I'm doing. Then last 5 years, I'll do a Umrah every year. And last year, I'll perform the Hajj of all Hajjs. And I will give all my money away. Yeah. So it's no. What information he held back from you, the information he held from you for you. He held it from you for you. Because there's no point in knowing it. Because it's not going to help you. Actually, many times, certain pieces of information will only harm you. So he held them back, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Because they asked about, the Surah Al-Mulk is that the Surah is telling us what we need, is giving us pieces of information, and then is commanding us to observe the cosmos, فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ, and to walk the earth, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا, and to look at the creations, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ, asking you to look at everything and learn, as also pointing out, but there's certain pieces of information that don't matter. Don't ask about them, it's not going to help you. مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعَدْ, when is this promise going to come to fruition? That doesn't matter. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. It's exclusively with Allah, this information. وَإِنَّمَا, and I am exclusively, شوف, إِنَّمَا twice in one verse. I told you once before, and I say this in multiple durus for tafsir. Whenever you see إِنَّمَا, you know, hit the brakes and stop and think about what you're listening to. إِنَّمَا is saying exclusively the following is what you need to know, or what the reality is. إِنَّ is to emphasize. إِنَّ is a dime a dozen. It's everywhere in the Quran. إِنَّمَا is not as common because it's, as they say, kafiya makfufa. It gives you this aspect of hasr, of exclusivity. So regarding the question of when is the day of judgment, when is Armageddon? Because that's a question that the human race has been asking for a long time. When will this all end? Everything ends. We can't understand anything that doesn't end. Nothing goes forever. So it's going to end. When is it going to end? Qul, say the following. Exclusively, the knowledge of this is with Allah. No one knows. And exclusively, I am yet nothing but a nadhirun mubin, a clear warner. I am offering you a clear warning. That's all I'm doing. That's all the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing for us. And that's all we do as well. We are not here to judge. We're not here to force. We're not here to coerce. We are here to offer information that is going to serve as a warning of something that is coming your way. Undeniably, it's on its way to you. It's coming to you. You don't have to go after it. The Quran doesn't talk about you dying. The Quran talks about جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, death coming to you. إِرْتَاح حَبِيبِ, stay exactly where you are. Do not waste, death will come to you. Death will come, it's coming. And do you know what you need to have prepared for that? Do you know what you need to have? What understandings, what pieces of information, and then what those pieces of information will lead to? You see, at the beginning of this session, I told you that there are pieces of information. But if they lead to certain conclusions unequivocally, then those conclusions also become a part of accepting those pieces of information. So if you accepted, if you listen to this surah, and you accepted لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ وَعَمَلٌ, you understood it, that this is nothing but an opportunity. He gave you, يَبْلُوَكُمْ, granted you an opportunity, not test you. That's لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ, we talked about this. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, granted you an opportunity, so that you may prove the quality and the excellence of your deeds. That piece of information has to lead. It leads without any doubt. There's no way to deny it. That you must practice that. You must act accordingly. You can't believe something and then not act based on it. If that's the case, then that's the definition of what nifaq is, basically. Nifaq is to understand it and then say, I'm good. I'll just claim the belief in it, but I'm not going to actually practice any of it. I'm not going to actually commit myself to what these words mean, what these words lead to. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً. And then we get a snapshot. The Qur'an does this all the time. There's over maybe 150 snapshots of Yawm al-Qiyamah in the Qur'an. Some of them can go up to 7, 8 verses, and some of them can be just one. And we just have one here. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً. And once they see it, زُلْفَة, زُلْفَةً means coming close, charging. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَةً. You want them to we are worshipping these asnam because we want them to take us to Allah closer, when He's closer. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً. And once they see it, when they see it, which is the Day of Judgment, زُلْفَةً, coming close, charging their way, they can't stop it anymore. Once they see the sun coming up from the west and the universe basically crumbling in front of their eyes, and they know Yawm al-Qiyamah is occurring, سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The faces of the disbeliever will be in a state, سِيئَتْ means they'll be in a state of difficulty, a state of distress. سَاءَ الْوَجْهِ. سَيِّئَ is something that is bad, that is low quality, something that is not good. سِيئَتْ means it'll be in the state of low quality or a state of distress. The faces of the disbelievers, those who denied this, those who said there's no akhirah and lived accordingly, those who said that there's no akhirah, there's no God, and there's no creation, and there's no resurrection, and there's no accountability, none of that is there, and they lived according to that, they lived accordingly to that belief, when they see Yawm al-Qiyamah running towards them, Zulfa is coming close, everything is happening as it was said was going to happen. سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The faces of those who denied all of this will be in real distress. وَقِيلَ, and they'll be called upon, and it'll be said to them, هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. This is what you were claiming didn't exist. This is what you went through your life claiming was not the truth. It was not going to occur. Deal with it now. Deal with it now. And whether they deal with it or they don't, whether they acknowledge it or they don't, doesn't make a difference. How we know that? Because the same surah just pointed it out to us a page before. 2 pages ago, the surah said the same thing. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. They acknowledge if we were listening, and if we were thinking, if we are using, you see are you noticing now the little dots coming together? وَلَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. If we were listening and thinking, if we were using our intellectual faculties the way we should have, if we allowed ourselves to learn and to actually comprehend what was happening, ما كنا, we wouldn't be here. So Surah Al-Mulk is saying, if you gain knowledge, if you learn the right, if you learn what you need to learn, then you'll be guided. And on the Day of Judgment, that's what they'll say. They'll say, لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل. If we practiced listening and learning and thinking and contemplating, we wouldn't be amongst the people of the flaming fire. فاعترفوا بذنبهم. And they admitted their sin. It doesn't make a difference though. It didn't help them. فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Here, it's just being re-emphasized. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً. And when they see this day that they are mockingly asking the question, when is it? Tell us, give us a date. Give us a date if it's true. If it's true, give us a date. The knowledge of that is with Allah. No one has that. And I'm not here to give you a date. That's not the knowledge I'm here to offer you. I'm here to warn you clearly of that which is going to happen. The timing of it is not, I don't have that knowledge, so I can't offer something I don't have. فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. Right? If you don't have it, you can't offer it. If I don't have the knowledge, how do I give it to you? I make things up? The Prophet ﷺ is going to make something, say, make something up? No, he didn't, ﷺ. He answered appropriately. But when they see it on that day, coming charging towards them, their faces will be in distress, and they'll be called upon and said, this is what you were claiming was not, and now it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us iman. True yaqeen in the day of judgment. Allahumma ameen. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا. فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Allahu Rabbul Alameen. Or you go back to the beginning of the surah and you answer with the beginning of the surah. The question at the end of the surah is answered with the first verse of the surah itself, which makes it a cyclic surah. It makes it cyclic because you answer the last question with the beginning of it. You start again. Right? I'll explain that in a second. The last three verses are another three commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam. Told him, say, it's Allah who created me from nothing and raised me and granted me my ability to hear and to see and to think, to be conscious. So he's the one who dispersed us amongst this earth to live the way that we live, and we all come back to him. Say that the knowledge of the time of the day of judgment is not with me. It's with Allah alone. I am here only to warn. Say, Ara'aytum. Ara'aytum means, basically, he's offering a hypothetical. Ara'aytum, do you see if this happened? So, Ara'aytum, do you see if the following occurred? So he's offering a hypothetical. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ahlakani Allahu wa man ma'iya aw rahimana. Say, do you see if say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to punish me? Wa hasha lahu subhanahu wa ta'ala an yu'aqiba habibahu sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa an yuhlikahu. In ahlakani Allahu wa man ma'iya. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to remove me or destroy me, and all those who believe in me, oh rahimana, or if he was to show us compassion and mercy and love, فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Who is it that is going to protect? Yujir from ijara, from jiwar, is to protect. فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ. Who is it that's going to protect the disbelievers from a painful punishment? The point the Prophet ﷺ is told to make here is tell them, okay, fine, we are weak, and to you, we are worthless. And let's say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me and all of my followers and he gets rid of all of us. Or he doesn't, he keeps us. Regardless, who's going to protect you from your punishment? Your emphasis, your focus on us, whether we are going to be successful or not, whether we are going to be shown mercy or not, whether we're going to be punished or not, regardless of what he does to us, why is it that you're not focused on what's going to happen to you? Why are you mirroring this back on me? Allah can do, this is what Ayah is saying, Allah can do whatever he wants to me. The Prophet ﷺ was never going to be destroyed by Allah, nor are the Sahaba. أَهْلَكَنِي اللَّهُ, that Allah will destroy me. وَمَنْ مَعِي, the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not going to ever punish the Prophet ﷺ or the Sahaba. These are the most beloved people to him. Right? So he's going to be, but the Ayah is saying, say this to them. Whether Allah takes removes us and destroys us, or he doesn't, he shows us mercy. You, فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ, who's going to protect you? Why are you reflecting this on someone else? Why are you listening to this and then thinking about what's going to happen to somebody else? This is about you. When I give tazkiyah sessions, I tell them, there are three, ever watched Fight Club? Right? The first law of tazkiyah, it's about you. The second law of tazkiyah, it's about you. The third law of tazkiyah, it's about you. Don't ever listen to anything that is said in a tazkiyah session and then say, no, if I had the ability, if I had an asa, I would use it. You never listen to anything about good behavior, about good etiquette, about good character, and then reflect it about someone else and say, well, why that person not? No, this is about you. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you listening to this? Why aren't you holding yourself to that standard? Let people live however they want to live. If you're granted the position to give them nasiha, give. If you're granted the position to teach them and mentor them, then do that. If you have the ability to offer them da'wah, then go ahead. But if you don't, then let people be the way they want to be. And then you listen to what's being said here and then apply it to yourself. The ayah is saying, the ilm, the reason this ayah is here is because what is the number one problem with ilm, with knowledge? Is that we preach, that we don't practice what we preach. This is the number one problem, is that you take knowledge and then you apply it to someone else. And I see it and it boils my blood. This is one of the few things that, it makes me lose my temper. You learn something so that you can apply it to yourself, so that you can be better. Not so that you can come and point out to someone else what they did wrong. It's not your job. one of the diseases of the heart is to watch people and judge them and point out their mistakes. One of the diseases of the heart, marad fil qalb, to be watching people like, I know all of your mistakes. That's not a good thing. That's a reflection of a disease in your heart if you're doing that. Because you should not have the time for that. Because you shouldn't have the time. If I'm hired for a job and the boss walks in and makes me and sees me making making beautiful pieces of art, what is he going? You're going to be impressed with that. It's like, how do you have the time to do this? He's going to fire me. It's a nice piece of art. I made a beautiful piece of art, but that's not why he hired me. He hired me for another job. If I have that amount of time on my hands, then either they're doing something wrong or I'm doing something wrong. I shouldn't have that time. You have time to see what other people are doing. You have time to wonder whether they're going to do well or not. Where do you get that time from? But you're perfect. You have no mistakes. You have no flaws. You fixed all of your flaws, and now you have time to focus on other people. MashaAllah. MashaAllah, Alik. Please come, take the amana from the. Come, lead us on the way. Ya waliyallah. What are you doing? The reason the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught people is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to. And we as an ummah accepted him as our mentor and teacher. If you are accepted as a mentor for someone, then point out their flaws to them. That's your job. If someone comes to me and asks me to teach them and to mentor them, then I will. I will point out every flaw. Not because I don't like them, it's because I love them. I want them to be better. Because they accepted me in that capacity. But the majority of people don't accept one another that way. We're all equals. So unless someone has accepted you as in the capacity of teaching and focusing and pointing out their flaws to them, then you shouldn't have the time. The number one problem with ilm is that if you use it to apply it upon others, I learned all this information, now you practice it. You do it. No, you learn this information so you can do it. And this is what ayah is saying, أَرَأَيْتُ مِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَعِ in the most severe manner. You see, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to punish me and those with me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الصَّحَابَةِ, never happened. أَوْ رَحِيمَنَا, or he shows us mercy. What is it to you? What is it to you? What Allah does with us. فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ, what's going to happen to you? Who's going to protect you from a painful punishment? Isn't that supposed to be what you're focused on? Fifth command, قُلْ, say this, هُوَ الرَّحْمَنِ, He's the most compassionate. How many times now in this surah? Have you followed along with the word? How many times in this surah has Ar-Rahman come in? Go back to the beginning of it and look. This is the fourth time. It's more than Surah Ar-Rahman itself. He uses it, who are Rahman? Because you need to know Allah, know this about Him. He is the most compassionate. He is the most loving. His compassion and mercy towards you is unlimited. It's infinite. Say, who are Rahman? He is the most compassionate. Amanna bihi. We have embraced belief in Him. We have internalized the acceptance of Him. Wa alayhi tawakkalna. And upon Him we depend. This is the conclusion. If you learn these pieces of information, this is what you will state with clarity. You will stop focusing on the destiny of other people and you'll focus on your own. You will state the nature of your Lord, Ar-Rahman, and you will have full iman in Him. And you will have full dependence on Him. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And then on the day of judgment, everyone will figure out, people will learn, فَتَعْلَمُونَ, you'll find the knowledge at that day, on that day, who is in a state of misguidance, true state of misguidance. Leave it till Yawm al-Qiyamah. We know who we are. We know who our Lord is. We know what we believe in. We know upon whom we depend. We know that. Others don't. They can know whatever they want and they cannot know whatever they want. We know who we are and what we stand for. And Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, سَتَعْلَمُونَ, you'll find out, مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, who was living a life of complete and clear misguidance. Leave it till then. We'll leave it till then. We don't have to argue with you here and waste time. You don't want this, fine. Yawm al-Qiyamah will be clear. Last piece. قُلْ, say, أَرَأَيْتُمْ, hypothetically, إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا, if water stopped floating, if water just ran right into the center of the earth, and no matter how deeply you dug into the ground, into the earth, you could not extract water. غَوْرًا, it goes down. Another law, a basic law of how the levels of the earth and how the stages, how soil and how earth actually function with one another. Law, a law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the universe. where when water comes in, it's absorbed, it runs in certain directions, it's gathered in a certain layer of the earth, and then it comes back up again because of the heat under it, and then you have water that is purified by the earth itself for you to drink. If that stopped happening, if the earth drank all of its water and took its rights to its core and there's nothing under anymore, مَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ, who will bring you water that is in ma'in, water that is going to come, al-ain, is going to come on the surface that is drinkable. Who's going to bring you water that will surface that you can drink? And the answer is, تبارك الذي بيده الملك. The cyclic surah. It ends with a question that is answered by the beginning of it. The one who put that law that allows you to eat and drink and live is the one whose blessings, تبارك, keep on coming time and time again. And there's no appreciation, and there's no true acknowledgement of them. And that's how Surah Al-Mulk ends. It's a beautiful surah. I hope it was able to help you enjoy it and appreciate its beauty. We'll end with that, inshallah ta'ala. We'll start Surah Al-Qalam next week. Subhanallah, bihamdik, shalom, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullah khair wa barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.